Technology is the great equalizer. Technology levels the playing field. It empowers every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more.
We're the first team from Nepal to ever compete in the Imagine Cup World Finals. It's not just a huge thing for me, but it's a huge thing for my country.
Winning this competition would be a huge validation piece that could really fast forward our company.
Seeing, you know, our product, you know, our child get this far in the competition is really rewarding.
We've been preparing all day and all night.
This means a lot to my family, my friends.
For these young designers, developers, makers, and innovators, students who are dreaming it, building it, and living it now, the road leads here. Microsoft's home, Seattle, Washington.
I'm really looking forward to the competition. When you're on stage, nerves are going to run high, but we have a lot of experience, so we are prepared.
We're really excited to show the world what we've got in store for them.
Going to Imagine Cup is a matter of pride. We are ready to compete, and we are ready to have our game face on.
The 2015 Imagine Cup World Finals.
We are here backstage with our three finalist teams. Who's excited? Okay, you guys, you're going to show off your game today. Is it safe to say this is the biggest audience you've ever shown this game for?
Yeah, we're very happy to show our game, to show our work of imagination. So we're glad to hear.
Excellent. I am excited. You guys, it's been years. Years. How does it feel to be here right now?
We are very excited to show our three-year development solution for the world. We are ready for it.
Yeah. What's up, Brazil? Take a look at this beautiful outfit they've got here. I think I just stepped on it, but my apologies. No. Okay, Aussies. You've got a lot of people watching at home. Any last-minute advice, anything you want to say to Mom?
Love you, Mom.
Truer words were never spoken. So I'm going to let you guys do your last-minute prep work. In the meantime, let's go upstage. Now, something to remember here, people, is that these students have been, like you heard, working on some of these projects for years. They have traveled thousands of miles to be here in Seattle, all for this moment, and we're just about to get started. So can you feel the energy?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 2015 Imagine Cup. Please welcome our host, Kate Yeager.
What's up?
What's up? Hello, Seattle. Yeah. And hello, viewers around the world. You're watching at home, on your phone, your tablet, your Xbox, or your computer. Welcome to the Microsoft Imagine Cup World Championships. Are you guys ready to see what some of the most amazing student innovators from around the world are doing? I love you guys. Okay, so Imagine Cup is Microsoft's marquee student technology competition, which features thousands of teams from more than 100 countries around the world. Now, the journey is near an end for the three very special championship teams you just saw behind me, who will compete for the Imagine Cup right here on stage in front of you today. So, good news is they're each taking home $50,000, not too shabby, and they'll participate in unique Microsoft Accelerator experiences to help get their projects ready for the world. So let's hear it for our student developers, designers, engineers, and innovators. All right. So for 13 years, the Imagine Cup has inspired students to build their coding and business skills, learn the latest technologies, and create games, apps, and solutions the likes of which this world has never seen. So please do me the honor of welcoming the steward and ambassador for the Imagine Cup and everything it stands for, Microsoft Chief Evangelist Steve Guggenheimer. Welcome, Goog!
Thank you, Kate. Well, good morning, everybody.
We're live? All right. I hope you guys are having an awesome week. It's been an incredible week here in Washington, in Seattle, in Redmond. We have 5,000 of some of our best tech professionals from around the world here at Tech Ready all week. We had our largest HackFest in our history on campus the last 2 days with some incredible ideas coming out of that. We had the Imagine Cup finals going on all week long. We had a design expo. And yesterday, just for fun, we broke the Guinness record for the most number of people trained to code in an 8-hour period. We had 1,300 people learn to code in the same day. Lots of kids coming in, the student professionals or our student partners helping out, everybody helping out. Really an incredible day. Now, not only was all of that going on, but obviously the Imagine Cup is the heart and soul of this conversation and what we're doing here today. It is in our 13th year when we started. Most of these kids were in junior high. And we've gone from a couple of thousand students in a handful of countries to 330,000 students competing this year in over 100 countries. And the best came to Redmond this week. We had an incredible week. I don't think they've slept. They've gotten some coaching help. They've done some work with all of our teams. They came here to Tech Ready. This morning you saw your favorite in action. And at the end of this period today, we're going to crown the 2015 winner of the Imagine Cup. Now, I do want to highlight, as we roll out of here today and as we finish, we're not only going to conclude the 2015 competition, but we're going to start today with the competition for 2016, and we're going to expand the Imagine Cup to continue to reach more kids, more students. Kids as young as 9 years old will be able to compete next year. So we're going to extend the reach for Imagine Cup, bring more students and more contestants in. Now, with that, it's an incredible time for the students in this final and all the kids participating today. We're sort of at the crossroads of transformation and disruption. Our industry is going through incredible transformation. From the Microsoft side, we released Windows 10 this week, the best version of Windows 10 we've ever created, the best version of Windows we've ever created, Windows 10. There we go. Azure continues to drive incredible innovation on the intelligent cloud, Office 365, and then there's new areas, the Surface Hub, the band, and one of the inventors, or the inventor of HoloLens, which to me, with an applied physics background, work here for 20 years, is the coolest piece of technology I've ever seen. So that's just incredible innovation going on in our industry that's transforming, and it's driving disruption in every industry, in every ecosystem on the planet today. And at the heart and soul of this transformation and disruption are the entrepreneurs of today and tomorrow, which are really what these students represent. Right, the projects they're working on over the 13 years have gone from sort of co-design-oriented projects to truly business ideas, transformative, disruptive ideas that are going beyond just the code that they're building and writing to the actual idea, to the business plan, to the business proposal, to funding requests, to driving an entirely new generation of entrepreneurs. All three of the winners are going to accelerators that are relevant for their area. And obviously the top winner not only gets all the things that come with that, but they get a one-on-one session with Satya at the end of it. So I think it's going to be an incredible competition. I got a sneak peek yesterday at some of the ideas and the work that they're doing. I've seen the kids getting ready backstage. So let me get out of the way. Let me give it back to Kate. You guys have a great day, and let's have some fun with this. Thank you.
Thank you, Googs. God, I love saying that name. Okay, so one team will be crowned the Imagine Cup champion today. Now, to make this happen, we're going to need three incredible judges. Luckily, we have them here, so let's meet them. First judge, inventor, Alex. In his 15 years at Microsoft, Alex has become widely known as the driving force behind Kinect. Recently, he's been showing off Microsoft's HoloLens, its augmented reality technology that just wowed the world at the Cannes Festival of Creativity. Come on out, Alex. Our next judge is a game designer and programmer from Sweden, famous for leading the development of the worldwide phenomenon Minecraft. He was nominated as one of Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People in 2013. Please welcome Jens. And if you are a fan of HBO's hit series Silicon Valley, you'll know our next judge as Pied Piper CEO Richard Hendricks. Please welcome Thomas!
Yay! We did it!
Yeah, so you can go home now, right?
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Everybody, amazing. Thomas, I think it's pretty safe to say that Richard's kind of a geek.
Yeah, he's a real nerd.
Do you guys share any geekdom similarities?
No, in normal life, IRL, cue laughter, cue rolling laughter, cue I'm not sure if I should laugh at that, I say that too much in my own life. In real life, I'm like a really cool guy, you know, I skateboard everywhere and I hang 10 and I just really party.
It shows.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, Alex, you've been at Microsoft for 15 years. You got to see a lot of cool stuff. What is the coolest project you've ever worked on? I knew that was going to get that
You
one.
Went there, didn't you?
I did.
That's like asking in front of a lot of friends, a parent, who their favorite child is.
I thought I am my mom's favorite, so I don't know.
I'll answer it this way. The thing I'm most excited about is the vision that we have at the company for more personal computing, which is an acknowledgement that people, not devices, are mobile, and to some extent we're ready to change the discourse and go beyond the pixels, beyond the devices, and beyond today's digital borders. If you then think about product to some extent is a short measurement of time, where you take a vision, you measure it, and in that moment in time, it's the highest density component of what that vision can be. In that context, I will say, if you inhale and you measure time, Kinect comes out. And yet, if you exhale and measure time, HoloLens comes out. If you close your eyes and you remove time from the equation, more personal computing is the thing I'm most excited about, and it's pervasive across all of the products that we work on.
So that should clear everything up.
Yeah. You answered that better than I don't... Okay, cool. Awesome. Whew, I love it. And last but not least, Jens, or Jeb, I think as we all know him by. Minecraft is obviously... been a huge success. It's touched a lot of people's lives around the world. How has it changed your life?
Well, me sitting here, it's a big difference. I still see myself as a more or less a bedroom programmer. So standing in front of thousands of people is a very big difference, yeah.
Well, you are sitting. Does that
That's
help
true.
Sort
That's
of
true.
The...
Yeah, it's a more relaxed display, nice. Definitely.
Excellent. Okay, well, obviously their judges are ready. Our students are backstage, and here is how this competition will work. Each team will have 3 minutes to demo their solution, followed by questions from our judges, 3 of them in total. Now, the first question will be about their dream. How did the team come up with their idea? The second question will be about the build. How did they make their project? And last, the final question will be how to bring it to life. How will they market their creation? So when all 3 presentations are wrapped, the judges will have a quick moment to deliberate, and Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella will join us on stage to announce the winner. It's time. Judges, are you ready?
Ready.
Be honest with me now.
I'm ready. I've prepared various questions. So because I'm a dummy, and I just play a smart person on television, nice. So I had to like really think about this stuff.
You're going method.
I'm going to hit these kids with the toughest questions they've heard all competition. And if they fail, don't worry, they'll just fail in front of their peers and streaming on the internet.
Yeah.
So they'll be fine.
What could possibly go wrong?
No pressure. It's a zero pressure environment.
Speaking of pressure, let's talk about games. Now, there's a lot that goes into a game. Storytelling, user experience, design, development, playtesting, and a lot more. The judges will evaluate students on how they bring all of those disciplines together to make a great game. Let's meet our games finalists. So they created a stunning game that features a unique black and white design. Meet Izard from Russia.
Russia's Izard created Oviva, a strikingly beautiful and innovative game where players explore a black and white world of movement puzzles and unusual creatures. The player can swap ceiling and floor at the touch of a button, reversing gravity and introducing a radical new movement mechanic to traditional platform games.
Our game isn't just a game. People can use it just to relax.
The three team members met at Microsoft's Imagine Cup Hackathon in St. Petersburg last year. And despite having never developed a game before, they hatched their idea and built their first demo in 24 hours.
We were inspired by artwork of Asher.
When you're looking on a black and white screen and you see, oh, what is this one? Maybe it's a plant or maybe it's something else.
Izzard used the Unity game engine for development and built their project for Windows, Xbox, and Windows Phone. Microsoft Azure is used to save game data and synchronize it across platforms, so you can play Ovivo wherever you go. Their prototype has been playtested by more than 400 gamers, providing valuable user analytics to improve the project. Graced with a bold vision for both art direction and innovative gameplay, Ovivo is a standout indie game. Congratulations to Izzard of Russia for winning the 2015 Games competition.
Hello. Today, we will show you the game where the art and music makes the magic. We are the Izzard team from St. Petersburg, Russia.
I'm Dasha.
I'm Dasha.
And I'm Sasha. Let's start from the beginning.
In the beginning, there was nothing. Then, something appeared on the ground. We called it Ova. Ova lives in bipolar world with two different gravitations. The main idea of the game is simplicity. There is only two colors, but with these two colors, we can create something extraordinary, something unusual, like optical illusions. For example, some people can see a face in this tree. We were inspired by famous artist Asher and his illusions. But this game isn't just about magnetic, attractive art. Players have a bigger goal, to understand this world, to explore it. And he can do it by collecting a mysterious symbols on each levels.
All symbols the player collected appear on this hypnotizing level map. It represents a whole world evolution. A player's goal is to collect all symbols, and with it opens the next part of the story. Throughout the game, you can see how the world evolves, from simple geometry form, landscape changes to more natural and more complex, and soon you find some more familiar shapes. Now environment become more and more dangerous for you, and you can lose not only if you fall off the level, but if you hit spikes or forms of trees. On next and more difficult stages, you will meet some mysterious creatures who either can block you or can help you. Our main focus is creative and meditative atmosphere in our game, and we achieve it by using a lot of things, but first of all, it's art. The unique silhouette, black and white graphic, which adds to the game some mysterious feeling. Second thing is the gameplay that keeps players in a state of flow. Complexity of the games grows very smoothly and very gradually, and obstacles become more difficult and more dynamic. And third important thing in our atmosphere is ambient, magnificent music, which supports all levels.
Yes, the music, art, the magic, all these components we use to create the fantastic universe of Ovivo. So, we are Izzard team.
Dasha,
and Sasha. And be the first one who will try our freedom version and become a part of Ovivo world.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nicely done, you guys. Okay, so Thomas, you're our first. You're our dream a question. Go for it.
Allow me to dream up a question. First of all, that looks really cool. I can't wait to play it. So well done.
Thank you.
Here is my dream it question. Okay. What if, You'll all realize that I don't know what I'm talking about. Now, what is a computer exact? No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I guess my question is, what if this thing catches on? Like, do you have plans for DLC or sequels and stuff? Anything more than just more levels? Or I'm just gonna put it in the scenario of like, what if this becomes some crazy version of Angry Birds, and you're like, what do we do next?
Well, the next we want to add some maybe additional levels, like a DLC where there are more challenges in the game. When it will be easy when I complain, but when we first try, I'm seeing it will be pretty hard. Yeah. But then when we add some kind of obstacles, more dangers and everything, it will be crazy for a little bit. And also, we want to add maybe some color. And you know, in our color, it's white and black. There's two forces. And maybe a blue one can make a new force, like something interesting.
Cool.
Okay, cool.
I believe that was an excellent question and an excellent answer. But I think the question really won the day there.
Jens, a build it question, please.
Well, the game is very beautiful, and it feels like the artist has a lot to say in the level design. But I'm curious on how do you design the levels, because that's also the key gameplay element. So the levels must play really well while still have a very nice artwork. So how do you do that, and what tools do you use?
Well, if I'm right, and the question is how we make levels, so that's, we all do it manual, and we're always thinking about how we go in and here where will be appears obstacles and strangers, and we're working to make it more comfortable and increase difficulty smoothly. But also, as I said about additional levels, we want to think about generating levels where it will be unexpected, and people cannot prepare for new obstacles and continue playing and take a new experience always, all the time.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And Alex, finally, what's it going to take to bring this project to life? Let's get a question.
So first of all, congratulations. What an amazing title. It looks and sounds delicious. From a go-to-market perspective, we just launched Windows 10. Question, did you guys develop the game using our Universal platform? And is it going to be available when in our Universal Store? Now, have you guys thought about what happens after you put it in and how you measure user engagement in the store of people actually playing your games?
Well, after this thing, we think that Imagine Cup helped us to make our game more popular. I'm sure you can try it. Well, and also we have asking to opportunity with publishers, investors who like our game, who want to put the money in us and help us with promotion. Also, actually, we in Russia have a discussion with a publisher who tried our game. He thinking, whoa, awesome. How can you inspire us this? Why black and white? It's so simple. Well, so this
excellent.
Way.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. Well, guys, great job. I think everybody is going to be wanting to play this game. Show of hands. Yep, that feels good. Okay.
Wow.
Well, you know what? Now it's time for you to take a break backstage, so go off and enjoy that little break. Everybody, let's hear it for Izart from Russia. Thanks, guys. Okay. Okay, so let's move on to our innovation category. For this category, the judges will evaluate the students based on how well their technology demonstrates software innovation that is both disruptive and fresh. Now it's time to meet our innovation contender whose solution helps make fashion more accessible for all kinds of people. It's called eFit Fashion, and they are from Brazil. Check it out.
Our team is eFit Fashion, and we are from Brazil.
It's hard to find clothes just the right size for each person and body type. So Brazil's eFit fashion team spent 3 years developing advanced software algorithms for precisely scaling clothing patterns based on any person's unique measurements.
We believe that you don't have to fit into clothes. You deserve clothes that are made to fit for you.
Customers enter their measurements, select their desired clothes, and choose tailors who download the instantly customized patterns, and then produce and ship the results. The team was inspired by the fact that closets the world over are bursting with poorly fitting clothes, and people often settle for clothes they aren't happy with. Custom tailored clothes are expensive, in part because of the hours required to generate patterns for each customer by hand. The team's project runs in Microsoft Azure using a combination of Java, MongoDB, and Apache Tomcat, providing an API for both web and device apps.
All the clothes we are wearing were made with our software, and this is an awesome shirt.
With eFit Fashion Solution, everyone saves time and money, making custom tailored clothes more affordable to more people, no matter their height, weight, or body type. The team has founded a startup, patented their algorithms, and are now pitching investors. Congratulations to eFit Fashion of Brazil for winning the 2015 Innovation Competition.
We all deserve to have clothes that fit. 60% of people have difficulty in finding clothes that fit. And the alternative for that problem is to do tailor-made clothes. But why don't people have their wardrobes full of tailor-made clothes? Because it is an expensive process and is a market that doesn't have scale. The process of making clothes starts with the idea, and then it goes to the pattern making, the cut, and the sew. But the bottleneck is in the pattern making because it's complex to represent the body that is 3D in a two-dimensional flat pattern. And differently than large companies that use one pattern to cut thousands of clothes to fill the small, medium, and large sizes, in tailor-made clothes we have one pattern for one garment. So, we developed the EPMG, Electronic Pattern Making Generator, that automatically generates custom-made patterns. For a seamstress to do a simple t-shirt, she earns 7 cents, and she doesn't know how to design it. But using our solution, she can aggregate much more value to the clothes she produced. We made many validations, inviting seamstresses and tailors, and they produce it. Day-to-day clothes, male, female, and even clothes for disabled people. But they did more. They did even more complex clothes, as this beautiful princess dress that Juliana is wearing. It's about real clothes. It's about real people. Our architecture is composed by a marketplace named Clothes For Me that integrates people who want to buy tailor-made clothes with people that sell as seamstresses and tailors using our solution. What happens behind the scenes is that when a person, a customer, types the body measures, it automatically generates the custom-made patterns. And it goes directly to seamstresses and tailors. And they have to print it, make the clothes, and deliver that for the customer. We also developed that for Universal Windows 10 apps that make it possible to people to buy in whatever platform Microsoft offers for us. And everything is on Windows Azure. We have to empower people that are in that field because we believe that you don't have to fit into clothes. You deserve clothes that are made to fit you perfectly. Thank you very much.
Excellent work, you guys. Alex, you're starting us off with the dream question.
Primeiro, parabéns. Muito orgulhoso em ver vocês aqui representando o Brasil.
Thank you.
Obrigada.
Obrigada.
Onwards to the dream question. To me, dreams is about love and it's about passion. You must do what you love and love what you do. So from that perspective, how much of your current closets consist of tailor-made clothes by your software today, and are any of you wearing it today?
This with our specialist, Princess Juliana.
Well, it's hard to have all of your wardrobe made of tailor-made clothes, but we want that to achieve every person in the world. We want you to have clothes that fit you. And I have a princess dress. We all have shirts right now. We're developing clothes for every type of body and every type of person. And that's what it is about.
Okay. Thomas?
My turn.
A build it question, please.
Build it. Okay. First of all, I like the premise. I mean, I don't disagree with the mission statement. I have like maybe a two-parter.
We'll allow that this time.
A two-parter. Okay, it revolves around patents. Like, what if someone creates a piece of clothing? Do they automatically patent? Can someone go and use that same design? And if so, does it cost some money? It's an eight-part question. Okay. And then two, what prevents you from just essentially taking a Calvin Klein shirt and putting it in your algorithm and not paying for a Calvin Klein shirt? Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay, so what happens is the marketplace that we offers, we also can integrate that using an API and offering for other like stores that sells clothes. So they can use that and produce the clothes they do using the software we created too. And we also...
The thing is, Calvin Klein could use our software. Instead of having copies of Calvin Klein clothes, they would have their own clothes made for their customers, but tailor-made.
Yeah.
Right.
I sincerely hope the Calvin Klein people are watching. And Jens, a project about bringing this project to life. A question about bringing this project to life.
I was thinking, like, this will obviously take off. But how do you imagine that it will work when me as a customer, I request a piece of clothing, and how do you... what can I expect from when it comes to like quality and like delivery times? And so how will you work on like keeping the whole brand working?
Okay.
Every vendor of our marketplace will be rated like a common marketplace. So you get your clothes and it doesn't fit. That will be impossible, but... And then you go and rate it. Oh, the clothes were poorly made, and that, and you can return that clothes, and we'll assure you you get your clothes with perfect fit and with quality. That's the idea.
Yeah, and we made many validations because we are talking about tailor-made clothes, so you don't want to receive clothes that don't fit for you. So we had to make sure that our algorithm can produce the patterns in the correct size for that customers. So because of that, we had the three-year development project that goes through all of that and solving complex math problems related with that.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Well, excellent job, eFit Fashion. Well done, guys. Now go backstage, grab yourself a Red Bull, do whatever you need to do. Take off your dress, whatever. We'll see you back out here in a bit. Okay, finally, it is time for our World Citizenship category. So since Imagine Cup started in 2003, teams all over the world have created new technology projects in fields such as health, the environment, and education. So our judges will ask themselves, have these students created something that advances the idea of social responsibility? Let's meet our World Citizenship contenders, who created a groundbreaking tool to help advance disease treatment. Meet Virtual Dementia Experience from Australia.
Team Virtual Dementia Experience, hailing from Australia, has created a learning tool for teaching dementia care.
So the Virtual Dementia Experience is a virtual reality simulation that uses video gaming and virtual reality technologies to transport healthy people into the shoes of someone living with dementia.
The students were approached by Alzheimer's Australia to help them expand public awareness of the disease. Public officials, researchers, caregivers, and even architects can use the experience to design better spaces and programs for those with dementia. The team used the Unreal Game Engine for development and built their project for Windows and Kinect, providing a seamless natural motion user interface. The project has already won several awards. The latest version now runs in the Oculus Rift virtual reality headset, enabling a portable experience that can travel to dementia care centres across Australia.
That's how we can improve carer practice, and that's how we can give better quality of life and improve the efficiency of the healthcare systems.
Congratulations to Virtual Dementia Experience of Australia for winning the 2015 World Citizenship Competition.
So when I use the word dementia, most people immediately think memory loss. But in truth, dementia is an incurable degenerative brain condition that affects our ability to control our own minds. It makes us lose what makes us us. And although there is no cure, what we can have is empathy. And to create empathy, we have developed a virtual reality simulation that immerses you in the realities of people with dementia. The project has already been installed at the Dementia Learning Centre in Melbourne, where to date we have delivered training to over 2,000 people and has a 6-month waiting list. What we have here today is the Oculus Rift version that replicates the experience, but in a more deployable and affordable package, bringing the cost from $60,000 down to below $2,000.
So, this is a presentation about an experience. This is not the experience. James here is currently in the VDE, and this is his reality, the reality of dementia. We worked with leading Alzheimer's researchers and educators to create the most authentic experience possible. We pushed the Oculus Rift to its limits, and when it becomes commercially available next year, we will be ready.
There is science behind the virtual dementia experience. Based on research from Stanford and a 6-month study with Alzheimer's Australia Victoria, we have scientifically proven that carers who use the virtual dementia experience as a part of their training can deliver better care to people with dementia. And because although we don't have a cure for dementia, we can have empathy. And that empathy will play a major role in improving the lives of people with dementia worldwide. And what we got here today is really just the first step, and we already prepared the next step in the project, which is the portable virtual dementia experience designed to be used on any phone anywhere in the world using the phone and $10 worth of materials. And with that outreach power, we hope to be able to deliver that training to anyone anywhere in the world, and through that, we'll be able to improve the lives of people with dementia worldwide. We are so happy to be here today to share with you our story of how we can use technology to improve the lives of people with dementia. And thank you very much for your time.
Okay, Jens, start us off with a dreamy question.
Yes, I was wondering, like, now we have the product and you can show it to us, but when you didn't have anything and you were just starting, how were you thinking about, like, what you needed to do in order to realize something that would help dementia?
So when we first started this project, we engaged with our partners at Alzheimer's Australia Vic, and they came to us and said, we have a problem in the healthcare industry, particularly in dementia care. Dementia is a chronic, progressive, and degenerative disease. It will kill you. But before it does that, as Norman said, you will lose what makes you you. So we decided that this problem of empathy, as Norman said, this can be solved by virtual reality and gaming technology. Essentially, games are the best educators in the world. If I tell you information, you won't necessarily know. You won't really act on that information. If I give you an experience, you will take that to heart, and you will actually act on that information. So we knew there was a problem with empathy from industry experts, and that's what we did.
Okay. Alex, a build-it question?
Well, first of all, congratulations again, and Oculus plus Kinect, I'm in love. Well played. Now, you guys are painting with a brand new set of paint colors and paintbrushes. You're artists of a new medium. So can you describe to us a little bit, as you were discovering this new medium of virtual reality with human input, you know, the biggest surprise, both in the positive and the negative, that you've received in terms of, as you were developing it, things that you were like, man, this is completely different than any other painting I've ever done before, both in the positive and in the negative, if you can.
Absolutely. When we embarked on this journey, we were looking at how do we create empathy. And as we understood it, the key, maybe the only way to teach empathy is by having people experience it. And when we decided to make use of virtual reality, that is because it has the power to completely supplant what is real around you. And with that comes a lot of problems in terms of usability, in terms of experience, and it is often difficult enough to communicate a typical experience, a normal experience. And not only do we take that, we also subvert that by distorting the environment. So we actually went through a very lengthy process, exacerbated in part by the fact that everyone is really just learning the medium of virtual reality. And we have put a lot of effort into making sure that we deliver the training outcome and deliver the best user experience possible.
Last but not least, a question about bringing the project to life.
Right. How you going, guys?
Good.
Fair income. I guess I have a question for beyond this. It sounds like you've got some like pretty positive feedback from this particular project. Now, say you guys become a medium for all this, for sort of medical VR in a way. Do you have ambitions to tackle other things, either through empathy or, you know, genuine education about, you know, what it is?
So far we've seen the virtual dementia experience be incredibly successful. It has drawn in, it's had over 2,000 carers go through it. That has translates into an impact on the life of almost 8,000 people who have dementia. So the opportunity has been presented there for dementia. It is impacted on the carers in Melbourne. It is something we expand to carers around the world. But it's also drawn in managers and CEOs of care facilities. It's drawn in architects, decision makers, and policy makers. People who would never attend traditional workshops on dementia. So this gives them a new insight into what dementia is and how to create spaces and make decisions that would impact the lives of people with dementia. So for other conditions that have cognitive impacts, that have auditory and visual impacts that we can represent through VR and gaming technology, there's an enormous opportunity not only to improve the care that they get, but improve the understanding that the public has and the people who make decisions around these people have.
Alex, speaking of opportunities and new experiences and new paintbrushes, you get us a HoloLens, we will show you more personal computing.
I think that was the perfect time to pitch that. Awesome job, you guys. Virtual dementia experience, everybody. And I'll invite you guys backstage. We'll see you back up here in just a minute for the big reveal of the Imagine Cup. Enjoy some backstage time. Cool. Yeah. Okay. Those have been three amazing innovations from three deserving Imagine Cup finalists. Our judges have a lot to think about. Yep. They're going to need a few minutes backstage before reaching a decision, so I'll invite you guys to go backstage and chat it out. Excellent. Now, while our judges deliberate, we want to honor the winners of the Microsoft Research Design Expo and another Microsoft program dedicated to student innovators. Each year, Microsoft Research sponsors a semester-long class at leading design schools like NYU, Carnegie Mellon, and the Rhode Island School of Design. Student teams design a user experience prototype that solves a real-world problem. This year, Design Expo aligned with the Imagine Cup and Microsoft's 40th anniversary, and students were challenged to design a product or service centered on inclusive design, an adaptive technology that utilizes human empathy as a design principle. This week, the winning team was crowned. We want to congratulate Radical Sensing from Art College of Design for their solution, Radical Sensing Super Smelling Neuroprosthetic. Yay! And finally, to announce the Imagine Cup champion, we've got a very special guest, a man who knows all about the power of creativity, collaboration, and coding. Please welcome Microsoft CEO, Satya Nadella.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's awesome to be here at Imagine Cup. This has been quite the week for us at Microsoft. In fact, we got started last weekend at the Special Olympics. It is such an honor for us as Microsoft to be sponsoring the event and cheering the people at Special Olympics. And of course, then we had the Windows 10 launch. We also had the 1 week, which is an amazing way for Microsofties to come together and hack away. And it is just a fantastic time for us. And for me, though, coming here at the end of the week to Imagine Cup, to truly get in touch with, I think, what is this unhindered passion, creativity, energy, is something that I've been looking forward to. And I always look forward to it whenever I've had a chance to be at Imagine Cup. So it's fantastic to be here. And you represent that boldness and ambition. That's exciting to me on a personal level. Talking about boldness of ambition, we live in an amazing time where the medium that we all work with, digital technology, is changing the world. I had this real amazing opportunity earlier this week to be in Kenya for the launch of Windows 10. And it was great to be in Africa, great to be in Kenya. In fact, I got to see the impact because at Microsoft, our passion, our mission is to empower every person and organization on the planet to achieve more. That's our soul, that is our identity. What we care about, what we get a great kick out of, is seeing others achieve greatness, be it a developer, be it a student developer like you, be it in business, be it a consumer, whoever it is. How can digital technology really help you achieve what it is that you dream of? Because to me, we all in technology, we should realize that we are creating tools, we are creating a medium. The artists are everywhere. It is their ingenuity that we want to really foster. And it was great to see that. In fact, I went to a school in rural Kenya, 200 kilometers north of Nairobi, and we worked with a local entrepreneur to take TV white space. This is the spectrum that's in between basically broadcast television. And created a broadband solution, broadband internet connectivity solution for rural Kenya, where no 3G, 4G exists today because capital investment can't be made. And it is great. There's research in Microsoft, or Microsoft Research put together the technology. We transferred over to these people who are building now the radio stack. And it's so disruptive. I mean, now you can have broadband speeds covering rural Kenya. And now, of course, connectivity is just a means to an end. And so I go to a school. They, of course, are upgrading to Windows 10, which is awesome for us to see. But the things the students were doing, I had a chance to participate in a Skype call between, in fact, a school in Kenya to another rural school in India. And that Skype classroom program, which is awesome, where two schools can participate, discover each other by asking questions. That was just amazing to see, because it was teaching them a sense of geography, which was so hard to get, and the digital medium is helping them do that. I had a chance to meet an entrepreneur in a digital cafe, which is basically a container, and this person was a Windows insider. I mean, it was stunning to me to be there, to run into someone who is a Windows insider. They had the latest build of Windows, had a lot of feedback for me on Edge and what we should be doing more, and it is awesome to get all that feedback. But also, he's an entrepreneur. He's a blogger who's making a living in rural Kenya because of the broadband connectivity and living in the world that we live in. And it's just that kind of digital inclusion is the impact that we live for. Then I later, that evening, I went and saw a bunch of startups in Nairobi. It was like walking into any incubator anywhere in the world, right? It's not just the West Coast of the United States. And that's what's so heartening to see, that people everywhere with ambition now have the ability to be able to chase that, to take that dream and make it real. The kind of solutions that they're building. There was this one solution around solar energy. Basically, they're building a smart grid on Azure and have a solar panel that's paper drink that they're going to go spread all over rural Kenya. Very much like what they did with mobile payments with M-Pesa, they're going to do with this solution called M-Kopa, which is just so phenomenal. It's a solution that, you know, no one would have built in sort of the West, but it's a solution that is so needed in so many parts of the world that is now being possible because of the technology that is, you know, that we all have around us. Now, all of you represent that passion, that ability to dream the impossible and make it possible. That's what you represent. All of you who participated in this competition, who've come here, you know, this tagline, which I love, which is dream it, build it, live it. I want you to keep that. Keep that alive. Because what you have found is something magical. You've fallen in love with something. And I think Alex said this well when he said, do what you love and love what you do. And it's not just in this competition. But what you started is going to grow. It's not going to grow because of some investor. It's not going to grow because of anything exogenous. It's going to grow because of your passion, your dreams, your ability to take it forward, your ability to learn on the way, because there's no linear path through all of this. But I know that that's what brought you here. That's what's going to make you succeed. And it's such a pleasure for me to have a chance to come here, talk to you, see the demos, see the passion, and see the innovation. So let me now bring up the judges back on stage because we are waiting for the grand finale and the unveiling. So let me have the judges come back up. All right. It's a tough decision, huh?
It is.
Do you want to say something about your conversation backstage?
We screamed at each other. I was hit over 40 times physically, but I kind of enjoyed it, which is my own issue. But we deliberated and we came up with a winner.
Awesome.
Yeah, there you go. Does anyone else want to add anything?
Well,
because my speech was incredible just then. I want to say one thing, because we on the show that I'm on, we've gotten some critique on this about how we don't represent all that many, you know, female programmers and coders and stuff in this world, in this tech world. And I got to say, like, two of those teams, excellent
awesome.
Ratio, 2-1. So way to go, girls. Get confident in the space and keep at it. So you should be the females in here should be pretty proud that you were represented well here on the three finalists there. That's all I wanted to say. Go girls! Girl power. Yeah.
I would just say that, you know, it was incredible to see across all of the teams the amount of passion, creativity, and entrepreneurialism that all of the teams brought to what they created. And more importantly, because those things I guess you can learn, to me the thing that was most fascinating, which you can learn, is the teamness.
Yeah.
All three of the teams were really well gelled together. They seemed like they really got along. And that to me is the most important thing in creating new things together, is how well do you get along with all of the other people around you. And for them to learn that lesson so early. Their journeys,
yeah.
Is just amazing, and they should all be very, very proud.
Yeah, and I'm also amazed how they were able to do a presentation on a timer in front of such a large audience as if they never done anything else. You know? Very impressive.
That's confidence.
Yeah.
All right, so should I unveil it?
Yeah, unveil it.
All right.
By all means, sir.
Oof. The world championship winner is eFit Fashion Brazil. All right, congrats.
Thank you.
There you go.
All together.
Yep.
See you at the next Imagine!